Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
This morning, I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. It's kind of getting to that time of the year, isn't it? I thought, it's probably time for a Christmas message. So I want to talk about this morning what Christmas is really all about. Because sometimes I think, there's lots of things we think Christmas is about. Family, Christmas is about food, Christmas is about parties and get-togethers, Christmas is about celebrating, Christmas is about God and, Jesus coming to earth as a baby. And there are kinds of lots of things. Maybe next one. Yeah, there we go. But Christmas, I want to kind of look at this idea of Christmas is about a lot of things, but one of the things that Christmas is Christmas is about saying yes. Okay, and so I'm going to explore that a little bit more with you and explain what I mean by that. But there are lots of things that we say yes to at Christmas time, isn't there? That probably we might not say yes to at other times of the year because we get a little bit carried away sometimes. No, not necessarily. But Christmas is a time when we say yes to that extra slice of pavlova. We say yes to that, that little bit of extra roast turkey or chicken or beef or whatever it is that you like to have at Christmas time. What do you have? What's your traditional Christmas food in the Philippines? Lechon. Love me a lechon. Lechon. If you're not Filipino, lechon is like a whole pig that they put on the spit, like a roast pig on the spit kind of thing. You'll have that too. We've got to say, this is something that we do have in common because pork is very popular at Christmas time in Australia. I'm a big fan. Christmas is a time when we say yes to lots of food. And we kind of give ourselves a little bit of permission, don't we, to sort of overindulge a little bit in the food and the drinks and that sort of thing. Particularly in Australia, there's a lot of people that say yes to overindulging in the drink, but it's a time when we kind of treat ourselves and we say yes to maybe buying ourselves that little thing that we sort of, was impractical or we didn't have the money for, and we kind of go at Christmas time, we go, oh, I'm going to treat myself, and we say yes to that thing that we've been wanting, or we say yes to something that, we've had our eye on but sort of been very reserved and disciplined and gone, no. And then at Christmas time we go, oh, all right then. Christmas is a time when we say yes to things that sometimes we kind of really wish we could say no to. Like having all the family over at your house for Christmas dinner or get together, and you and we say yes, all right, come on, and we enjoy the party, but we're really not looking forward to the cleaning up afterwards. Yeah. Colin Buchanan sings a great Christmas song. I don't know if you've heard his version of Jingle Bells. There's a great line in there where they, they're sort of, Christmas is all done and the party's done, and then they, this line about everybody jumping in the car and shooting through before the washing up. And it's pretty true. Sometimes we say yes to buying gifts for people. Who's ever got into one of those workplace kind of Kris Kringle sort of things where you go, yeah. And you end up trying to find something for somebody that you really don't know well enough to buy a meaningful gift for. But you kind of, you say, oh, it's the spirit of Christmas and we're getting into it. So, yeah, all right, put me down. We'll be part of it. And, you don't want to be the Scrooge that says no and that sort of thing. So sometimes we say yes to buying gifts for people that we really don't know very well. Sometimes we say yes to those impulse buys, those things that I don't know if if you're one of those people who loves shopping and you're out doing your Christmas shopping and you're getting this and getting that, things for the kids, things for the relatives, things for the nieces and nephews or the grandkids, and you're just in a shopping frenzy and it's almost like anything that's not nailed down ends up in your shopping cart. Sometimes at Christmas time you say yes to volunteering or helping others, volunteering at church, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's a great time of year for getting in and helping out and being part of things. I don't know, who's ever seen a movie, we've got a little picture here, I think, called Yes Man? Anybody seen Yes Man with Jim Carrey? Yep. Okay, the basic premise is he's kind of in a pretty miserable, he's lonely, he's in I think it's a banking job or something like that. And he goes to this seminar and the guy says, if you want to be happy, you've got to start saying yes to things in your life. Just say yes to everything, you know, and you'll have wonderful adventures and explore. And so he makes this decision, this choice, because he wants to improve his life. And so he just starts saying, and whenever anybody asks him to do anything or whatever, he just says yes automatically as his default. And it kind of, obviously, it's a comedy and he winds up getting into a bit of trouble. And at the end, he learns that there are some things that it's good to say yes to, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable, because it gets us out and, you know, we experience some adventures, we try new things. But there are also some things that wisdom says, you know, this is probably one of those things you should say no to. And so it's kind of a great lesson and a humorous film. But there are things in life, aren't there, where we go, here are some things that we should say no to. And there are some things that it's great to say yes to. And I want to kind of explore a little bit of that in the Christmas story. Okay, so there are some characters in the Christmas story, and I'm going to focus this morning on the big three. All right, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. All right, so that's kind of they're really the three central figures in this story, the Christmas story. And so we're going to focus a little bit on them and the yes that they needed to say in order for the Christmas story to come to be. So first, I want to start with Jesus. Okay, not an actual photo. just for clarification, just so you know. So Jesus is a character, and Scripture talks very clearly about the fact that Jesus didn't come into existence at the first Christmas. Okay, Jesus existed with God before the creation of the world. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures really quickly. This is Jesus in John chapter 17. Jesus is praying and he's talking to God and he says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. So Jesus made this claim, and again, Scripture makes this claim that Jesus existed. When you read the Scripture and you read verses that talk about how God sent Jesus to the world, it kind of is one of those things. I've never really stopped and thought about what those scriptures were kind of implying before. And I don't know if you have, but when you say you send somebody, it means they must already exist, doesn't it? You can't send somebody that has not yet been created. It doesn't say God loved the world so much that he created Jesus to live in the world. It says God loved the world so much that he sent his son. He said, I'm sending you. So Jesus was existed with God. Here's one in Colossians. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So here's Jesus. And sometimes I think we forget this part of the Christmas story, this sacrifice that Jesus made. This morning as we reflected on communion, we reflected on Jesus' death on the cross, but sometimes I think we don't focus a lot on the sacrifice that Jesus made to give up glory in heaven to come to earth in the first place. I don't know if you've ever thought about this too much, but I don't know whether I could cope with going back to that. If someone came to me and said, here's your mission to become a baby, all right, I'm not sure if, I mean, I don't have a lot to give up really compared to what Jesus was giving up, but it's not something that we particularly, you know, it's a very vulnerable state, isn't it? You say, we're going to put you in a position where you have no decision-making authority. You have no ability to even communicate your desires or your wishes to the people who are making all of your decisions for you. You cannot walk. You cannot talk. You're incapable of doing even the most basic of tasks for yourself. How does that sound? And this is like even for us as human beings to kind of consider going back to that state of vulnerability and complete and utter dependence is very challenging. But to think that Jesus, who was God, who was the King of Heaven, who commanded legions of angels, you read some of the descriptions of him in the book of Revelation, like he's got swords shooting out of his mouth and fire in his eyes and light just comes streaming off of him. And this is a magnificent person, like with power just radiating from him. And he says, no, I'm gonna become a little helpless baby living in poverty. So this is what Jesus gave up. So this is the first yes. Before even Mary and Joseph came into the story, Jesus says, yes, this is what I will choose to do for, in order to make this kind of whole thing happen, in order for us to be able to receive the benefits that we receive through Christmas. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, I went back a little bit, so let's go forward. Mary, okay, also not an actual photo, just in case you're wondering. So Mary, there are some yeses that Mary needed to say, some choices that Mary needed to make, some times where she had to say yes in order to fulfill her part of the Christmas story too, wasn't there? Now, it's interesting that when you kind of think, I was thinking about reflecting on this the other day, that the Bible scholars and historians and whatever suggest that Mary was probably in her sort of early to mid-teens, so probably around Amy and Hannah's age at the time. That's pretty full on, isn't it? So let's read a little bit of Luke chapter 1 and some of the story, some of these familiar words. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." No pressure. No pressure, Mary. The baby you're going to carry is going to be the king over everyone for all eternity, but no pressure to raise him right or anything like that, okay? You can imagine some of the things that were going through her mind. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. I love this verse 37. "For no word from God will ever fail." I love this passage. The angel is talking to Mary and he's basically come to her and said, "Something that is completely impossible is about to happen to you." And I don't know if you've ever had an angel visit you and tell you that something completely impossible is about to happen. I haven't. But if I did, there's this evidence that sort of encourages Mary and says, "Hey, just in case you ever thought God wasn't capable of doing this, here's another impossible thing that God is about to do, and you'll see it happening right before your eyes, and is already happening." Elizabeth, who was completely barren in her old age, suddenly she's having a baby. Woo. But here's the yes, right? Here's Mary's yes. She says at the end, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. I was reflecting on this and I was thinking, at this point when she's having this conversation with this angel, now just put aside all of the, God sees the future and God knows what's going to happen stuff for just a second and go, None of it's actually happened at this point. The angel's talking, he's talking future tense. He's saying, this is what is going to happen. This is what will happen. And here's Mary sitting here trying to take all this in, this young teenage girl trying to process what it means this angel is saying to her. And yet we have this response. You know, I can't help but wonder, what if Mary had said, no way, it's too scary, I can't do it, you know, it's all too hard, no, choose somebody else. Now, obviously that didn't happen, and obviously God knew her heart and how it was all going to respond. But, you know, like for Mary, at that point in time, she didn't have the benefit of being able to look through everything that was to come the way that we do. And I wonder if she had been able to look at all of the stuff that we have about Jesus' life and all the things that he was going to suffer and go through, I wonder if that would have made it easier or harder to say yes to God. I don't know what it would be like to watch your child go through the kinds of things that Jesus went through. But Mary, undoubtedly scared out of her brain, undoubtedly would have been completely overwhelmed, would have really only been able to grasp at this point in time of the story, would only have been able to grasp a tiny fraction of what this was really going to mean for her. I wonder if there were some things that went through her head about, you know, if I say yes to this, if I agree to this, what's this going to mean? What's it going to mean for me? You can imagine the thoughts start flashing through, but I'm a young girl. I'm not married. What's Joseph going to think? What's my family going to think? You know, I wonder if all of these things, I mean, I don't know what goes through your mind when you're standing in front of an angel. We can only imagine, we can only speculate what we would kind of do. You know, maybe there was something that just, you know, mine just kind of went blank or whatever. Who knows? But, you know, it's not hard to imagine some of these things going through her mind, is it? You know, the consequences of me saying yes to God. Because make no mistake, when we say yes to God, there are consequences. Aren't there? When we agree to stuff, when we say yes to God, there is consequences of every decision that we make. You know, I mean, there are consequences when we say no too, but, you know, we've got to trust that the consequences are better when we say yes. All right, I've got a little video. Can we play the Mary video clip?
Well, you sure have made a grand entrance into this world now, haven't you? Not an entrance a king would make. A manger of all places. No palace, no guards. Just a barn and a lot of hay, if you ask me. What am I to make of all of these guests? That silent night sure got loud fast. I suppose you'd like to know how all this came to be, wouldn't you? Well, on an ordinary day, more ordinary than you can imagine, an angel came to me. I know. I had trouble believing it myself. He spoke of things I couldn't really comprehend. He spoke of you, the Son of the Most High. He looked straight at me, as if to ask, "Will you say yes?" Was the scariest yes I'd ever uttered. Tell you the truth. This was an impossible yes that only God could make possible. Never in my wildest dreams. Speaking of dreams, is it okay that I have dreams for you too? All mamas have dreams for their babies, you know. even babies announced by heavenly hosts. My little one. I have a strange feeling this will not be the only yes required of me. I cannot begin to imagine the yeses that will be required of you. God help me. One faithful day at a time. To keep saying yes.
So Mary chose to say yes to God. But you know, in a lot of ways, Joseph also had his yeses to say to God too. You know, let's have a look at, there's Joseph.
Is that an actual photo?
No. That one's not an actual photo either, but you know, I kind of figured that was obvious given that it was a painting and not a photo. I figured you're kind of getting the idea by now. I didn't need to keep adding the captions. But so Matthew chapter 1 tells us this little glimpse into the story from Joseph's perspective. And it says, Joseph, to whom Mary was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly after finding out that she was pregnant. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, at this point, Joseph also has a choice, doesn't he? He can choose to obey. He can choose to go, no, this is not what I signed up for. You know, I didn't sign up to be a dad to someone else's child or, you know, to marry a woman who was already pregnant. But Joseph, like Mary, there's something within them that says, this is a yes that I have to say. This is God. This is God in this. You know, kind of maybe the angel helped a little bit. I don't know. But but it was a dream. You know, so he doesn't kind of have quite the same momentous sort of, you know, angel appearing in front of him. He has a dream, and he's probably, you know, 98% sure that this is a God thing. But there's that, I'm sure there would have been that little niggle of doubt. I'm sure that Satan wouldn't have missed an opportunity to throw that little seed in there to kind of, it was just a dream. You know, just do what makes sense in your own mind. But Joseph chose to listen to God and to be obedient to God. I've got to wonder too whether there were some things inside Joseph that said, you know, am I prepared to be the father of the Messiah or stepfather of the Messiah, to be a parent to this coming king? He's a simple guy. He's a humble guy. He's, you know, yes, he's a righteous man. He's a good man, but he's a carpenter. He's just a tradie. He's nobody special. And we've got another little clip here of Joseph, if we can cue that one up, that kind of talks about some of the things that perhaps would have gone through Joseph's mind and some of the things where that maybe it was a struggle at times for him to say yes as well. Let's have a look.
I've spent my entire life planning, working, saving, trying to do the right thing here. Other people, they plan for the census, they get here early, and what do? I show up with a pregnant wife who's just hours away from giving a birth after a 90-mile journey, and I can't even find a room! This isn't how I imagined us bringing a child into the world, especially yours. I know. I know. I'm not the first man to have his plans rearranged by you. And I won't be the last. I guess that's what I'm saying, God. Is that I don't think I'm the world-changing kind of father. There's a lot more men in this world that are braver than me. I know who I am. The wrong guy. I'm trying to say, God, I'm not enough. Flicker of something inside this sawdust-covered heart of mine. Then I'll take a detour. Oh, a really big detour. But I promise you this. Even if I don't feel like enough, I'll still give you all that I have.
As Joseph discovered, sometimes saying yes to God is not convenient. Sometimes saying yes to God means a complete rearrangement of our plans and turning things upside down. Anybody ever discovered that? This was not where I planned to be when I was a kid. Sometimes saying yes to God, it interrupts our plans. You know, and for you and me, like, we have an opportunity. You know, we are also part of God's story. We look at Joseph and we look at Mary and we look at Jesus and we go, they're in the Bible, you know, they're part of God's story. But the truth is that you and I are also part of God's story. We're part of God's story in redeeming all of humankind and redeeming our earth and making his name known to people everywhere. We're part of his story, and being part of his story means that we also need to get up and each day and make that choice to say yes to God. To say, you know, it might be inconvenient, I might feel unqualified, it might be hard, it might be scary, but we choose to say yes to God because he's God. To say yes to things that maybe we don't really want to do. To say yes to things that we feel unqualified and inadequate to do. To say yes to things that put fear into our heart, things that are scary. To say yes to things that we think will fail. You know, often God calls us to do things that are impossible, and we look at that in the natural and we think, how can that possibly work? How can anything good ever come from that? And God says, just say yes. To say yes to things that require a bit of a step of faith. There's a story that I love in Luke chapter 5, and Jesus is kind of, he's jumped into Simon Peter's boat and he's teaching out on the water, and we come to verse 4. It's not working. Go forward. It's going to go in like 5 steps in a second. Anyway, Luke 4, And it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Do you remember this story? Like, and what does Simon say? He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Here's the kind of attitude that we see and we ought to be looking to emulate in our lives, that the same attitude that Mary had, the same attitude that Joseph had, the same attitude that Jesus had, the same attitude that Simon has here that says, this makes no sense. I cannot see any way that this is going to accomplish anything of good, but because you say so, I'll do it. And do you know what? There is power in that statement. There is power in those words. There is power in that kind of mindset and that attitude, because God can do something when we say yes. You know, God doesn't need us. But you know, there's this amazing mystery that the scripture talks about, and what we see outworked in our lives is that God chooses majority of the time to limit himself to working through you and me. And he says, I've made a choice that these human beings, these people, these Christians, these men and women, these boys and girls are going to be my hands and my feet in this world. And I'm going to limit what I do to what I can do through them. And there are very, very few exceptions to that. And so when we say yes to God, it releases this, not because he's unable, but because he's chosen to work through us. And so we release the effectiveness of God. We release God to work in our community, in our lives, in the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our family members, in our city of Wyala, in our nation of Australia. When the people of God say yes to him. And I want, maybe in a sense, that to be the message of this morning. That as we get into the Christmas season, some of us are well and truly into it already, but as we're kind of getting closer and it's getting busier and there are more and more things kind of going on and happening, maybe this Christmas season can be a reminder to us of the power in saying yes to God. And as we celebrate Christmas, as we see the nativity scenes with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, maybe they can be reminders to us of what God can do in our world and in our community when we make a choice to say yes to God and have that attitude the same as Simon in this passage of Scripture that says, like, you know, maybe this makes no sense, maybe it's scary. Maybe it's, you know, we don't understand why God is asking us to do this. But to have that attitude that says, God, this Christmas, this reminder, you know, from now and for always, because you say so, I'll say yes. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for this Christmas story that illustrates so beautifully to us the power of saying yes to you. Of agreeing and allowing you to work in our lives and being obedient to the things that you call us to do. Lord, help us to have that courage to say yes to you in the areas of our life where you're calling us to things, when you're challenging us in things, when you're giving us instructions maybe or giving us things that you want us to do. Lord, help us to be people that say yes. Lord, right now, Lord, as we just reflect for just a few moments now, Lord, help us to listen to your Holy Spirit. Lord, one of the things that stops us from saying yes is when we choose not to listen. God, help us to be people who listen to you. Lord, right now in this place, what are the things that the Holy Spirit is putting into your heart? What are the areas of your life where you've kind of been ignoring that question from God? You've kind of been putting it off because it's scary. It's that there's fear, or just because we don't want to. There's that rebellious kind of nature that rises up within us. That's part of all of us. That's humanity. We say that's not my plan. God, your plan is inconvenient and it doesn't make sense and I don't like it. Are there areas in your life where he's calling you to do something, to say something, be somewhere, whatever it might be? A challenge. Will you say yes? Lord, help us to be people who trust in our Father. Who know that when we say yes, that even though there may be consequences, even though it may be painful at times, even though it may be difficult, even though it may be inconvenient, that God, that the yes is always better. That the consequences that come from being obedient to you are always better, because your plan for us is good. Your plan for us is always good, because you love us, Father. You want good for us. You want joy for us. You want peace for us. You want blessings for us that are eternal and not temporary and fleeting and fading. God, help us to be people who say yes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.